is Joyce Community Church, where you can wake up to the love of God, grow in Christ, and step out in service. You are listening to our weekly sermon featuring Pastor John Kyler.
I promise, no dancing today. Just for those of you who are getting a little nervous. Jesus had finished teaching about the importance of caring for the little children, about God's heart for the wandering sheep. Then he launches into how do you address a brother or sister who have sinned against you? And the Apostle Peter, who was a very astute student, knew that Jesus had a certain determination or focus on mercy. So after this lesson, Peter asked the Lord, how many times should I forgive a brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Now the rabbis had taught that if your brother or sister sins against you, you should forgive them once. You should forgive them twice. You should forgive them three times, but not four. So Peter, I'm supposing, was thinking that he was being extremely generous in offering seven times a forgiveness. But Jesus replied to Peter, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And then he went on to tell him a story about a wicked servant who had received forgiveness and failed to show it to his fellow servants. And I imagined it happened a little bit like this. It was early in the morning, before the sun came up, when the steward woke up his servants, and he said, help me carry these chests out to the wagon. So his servants, Hank and Simon, shook off their sleep, and they bent down and picked up the two chests one at a time, and they struggled, heaved them up on the back of the wagon, and went and got the other one, and picked it up and struggled and heaped them up on the wagon, and the wagon bounced each time, and they threw a blanket over them, and they got aboard and began to ride along. They were hoping to get to the king in time to pay off the debt. But it turns out that the king was not going to sit and wait, but instead he rode and he was going to the steward's house to actually collect the debt. And they met on the road. The king sat upon his horse. He said, hello, steward. Where are you going? And the steward said, I was coming to pay off some of my debt. Oh, is that what you have in your wagon? Yes, sir. Well, let's see what you have. So he climbs down, he goes to the back of the wagon, he pulls back the blanket, and there's two chests weighing, for us, they would weigh about 60 to 90 pounds apiece. And the king says, so I see you have brought me two talents worth of gold. Seems like you're a little short. He took off his riding glove and he reached into his belt and he pulled out a silver coin. And he flipped it to the steward who caught it and noticed that it was a day's wage, a denarius. And he said, "So, given what's in your wagon and what's in your hand, how many more of those silver coins do you think you owe me?" "About 60 million. And if we took your wife and your kids and you and your two servants and made you work for me until you could pay them off, how long do you suppose it would take?" "60 million years." "I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said."
"60 million.
"I still can't hear you." "60 million years. "Well, pay up." "I beg your pardon, sir. Please be patient with me, and I'll sell the farm, I'll sell the orchard, I'll sell my cattle, I'll get it together. Please be patient with me. Don't take my wife and my kids and my family." The king thought for a moment. He turned to one of his companions who wrote something down, and the king turned and handed it to the steward, and he looked at it, and he could hardly believe that the note said canceled. Canceled? All of it. It's all paid up? And he went away overjoyed and delighted. Sometime later, the steward was counting his resources. And he remembered that his servant, he had loaned his servant, Hank, 100 silver pieces. And so he went to Hank and he said, "Hank, where's the money that you owe me?" He said, "I only have a little bit, I don't have it all." And he grabbed him by the throat and he said, "Pay me what you owe me." He said, "I can't. And please be patient with me and I'll scrape it together. I'll get it to you in just a few months. Just give me time." But the steward said no. And he went off and he ordered the jailer to come and take Hank away and throw him in prison until he could pay off the whole debt. Simon watched the whole thing and went directly to the king and told him the story. So the king called the steward into his presence and he said, "How is it that I have forgiven your huge debt and you have failed to forgive the debt of your fellow servant?" "So throw him into prison until he can pay it off." And then I suppose that Jesus turned to Peter and said, "So, how many times do you think you should forgive your brother or sister who sins against you?" Jesus concludes his story by saying, "This is how your heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brothers and sisters from the heart." What does this parable have to teach us about being people of the kingdom? Parables are metaphors, extended metaphors. They function a lot like a joke. They have a lot of detail, but a punchline to them. They try to communicate something. And if we press the metaphor too far, we will actually miss the point. But there's a couple of things that I think are important for us as we consider ourselves as God's kingdom people. It's easy to underestimate the size of our debt to God and magnify the offense that we experience from one another. In the exaggerated size of the debt, we get a glimpse that all of us owe a debt that we cannot possibly repay. But it's hard to grasp that. I told some people earlier this week that I walked through a good portion of my life before I came to faith, comparing myself to others and understanding that I was a bad guy, but I wasn't not as bad as the guys that I used to hang around with. It was kind of my security blanket. I'm bad, but I'm not that bad. We underestimate the size of our debt because we have not yet fully comprehended the holiness of God, who is pure beyond measure and understanding and comprehension. We owe a debt we cannot possibly repay. And the size of the debt is matched only by the enormity of God's grace and forgiveness. The second thing that the parable shows us is the unlimited mercy and grace that is available to us through the ministry of Christ. The parable captures what you would call the end-time jubilee mercy of God, the extraordinary, extravagant grace of God that he lavishes upon the universe that Christ came to inaugurate. Remember, Jesus declared that his ministry was the coming of the Jubilee, the celebration, the point in history when all the debts would be canceled. Jesus put it this way, quoting from the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom from the prisoners and recovery of sight from the blind and to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Now, the thing about Jesus' story is that it draws us in. We come in as the wicked servant, and we rejoice that our debt has been canceled, but then, oh, we're struck that we too can be unforgiving. The master said to the servant, "Is it not necessary for you to show mercy to your fellow servant that I also show to you? How could you not forgive the smaller offense that I forgave you?" Jesus, this is kind of brings us back to the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says, "Kingdom people are merciful. Blessed are those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy." Ties us to how Jesus taught us to pray, saying, "Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have sinned against us." Later on, he says, "How do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's or sister's eyes and not see the plank in your own eye?" The parable is meant to teach us that bearing the image of God means bearing or revealing God's mercy in all of our relationships. You know, the parable ends with kind of a harsh statement. The steward is locked up, thrown into jail, where he's said that he'll be tortured. And Jesus is using actual cultural reality that the kings and the pagans and the loan sharks of the day would have required that, okay, you can't pay me, I'm going to throw you in jail and I'm going to torture you until you can raise the money. But we know that doesn't make any sense whatsoever, right? It's like, how am I going to pay you back if I'm stuck in jail? Well, the idea was that all of your friends and your family would pay off the debt for you because they would want to get you released and keep you from being tortured and tormented. The point of the harsh treatment at the end is hyperbole to grab our attention, just the same way as a 10,000 talents of gold is hyperbole as well. It's to show the seriousness of our failure to show mercy. That if we fail to show mercy, we'll not go unnoticed. And the whole parable illustrates the necessity for us as kingdom people to reflect God's mercy and grace all around us. Remember, from the very beginning, God created humanity in His image to reflect His character. But then we rebelled and fell short. That's what the scriptures refer to as sin. We fell short of God's glory and no longer reflected His image quite the way He intended us to. In the image, in the parable, tells us that the image of God looks like a king who lavishly pardons the debts of those around him. A king who forgives a debt beyond what any of us could pay. Biblical grace that we find in Christ is meant to be transforming grace. But it's grace that comes with a responsibility. There is no debt so big that the mercy of Christ cannot cover it. But the mercy of Christ should take root in our hearts. And this one's for my Wednesday night group. As Kyle Snodgrass writes, "Mercy not shown is mercy not known." And Jesus says, "How many times shall you forgive your brother and sister?" Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for the mercy that we cannot fully comprehend. We ask that you would let us see your holiness and let us stand before your majesty and your righteousness and your goodness. Let us drink deeply of your grace and help us to walk humbly with one another and those around us as true image bearers. Amen.
Thank you for listening. To find out more, check us out at storieschurch.org.